Good morning, everyone. It is Friday morning, Parshas Truma, Tav Shem Pei Dalet. This is part two of a shiur that we started yesterday. And just to bring us up to speed, we spoke about the central question that we had is to understand why it's important to have two kelim in the base and the Mesa Migdash or the Mishkan that symbolize Torah. That's the Aron HaKodesh and also the menorah. So the menorah represents Torah. We talked about it. It represents seven branches of Chochmah, of wisdom. And we elaborated on that, how one cannot make a menorah out of a metal, out of iron, except for gold, of course. It can be made out of wood if need be. And that's what the Ramban tells us. And we had a kasha that at the time of the Chashmonaim, they made the menorah out of stakes of iron, Shpudin Shom Ashav Barzel. And we said because they had to fight, the Chashmonaim had to fight against the Yevanim. And therefore, since the Torah was won through battle, so therefore you could use the metal, which represents war. Okay, that was one point. But then we also brought out the fact that there are three kelim in the Mishkan that had a zer, that had a crown around it. That's the Aron HaKodesh, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach HaZov, the golden altar. And we asked, why don't we have a crown around the menorah? And we'll add a couple of questions to that, and that is that if you can visualize the Heichal, the precinct where that housed the menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, we have like this. So on the south side, again, when you're looking straight with your back to the east and you're facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is all the way in the west, first you have the Heichal. To the right of you, which is on the north, you have the Shulchan, the table. And then on the left, you have the menorah, Harotz Lahachim Yadrim, right? If you want to attain Chochmah, look towards the south. And in the middle, between the Shulchan and the menorah, that's where you have the Mizbeach. And that's also symbolic, because the Shulchan represents Parnasa. The Shulchan represents Gashmias. In order to have Gashmias, it has to be Chal on something, so to speak. So we have breads, the showbreads on the Shulchan, 12 of them, represents the, each Shevet and Klal Yisrael for their Parnasa. And then you have the menorah, you have the pursuit of Chochmah and Torah. But the point is that what's in the middle is the Mizbeach, because Mizbeach represents subservience to the Rabbanu Shalom, which is Avodas Hashem. That's a symbol of Avoda. There are proofs from this from Tanakh, but we're not going to be able to go through that right now. So, trust me on this. I once heard an address from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that he said very acutely, he says, when somebody says, trust me, I don't trust him. I don't trust him. Right? But in any event, the Mizbeach is meant to say as follows. Central to whatever you're doing, so when you're in pursuit of your Gashmias, you have to utilize your Gashmias in the subservience of Hashem. And even when you're pursuing Torah, the menorah, Chochmah, it has to be done in subservience to Hashem. You can't just go out and say, I'm going to learn Torah as a pursuit of Chochmah. You know, there are plenty of people that on an academic level were very, very well versed in Torah, but it did not translate into their ruchnius growth, you see. So that you need Siyata Deshmaya. Rav Shach once wrote, I read this, that a person could be very full of Torah, but you can't call him a Talmud Chacham, because a Talmud Chacham, that title, you can only earn through Siyata Deshmaya. And if a person is not learning the Shem Shemayim, he's not learning, you know, for the sake of all of us, even though when we're learning, maybe there's a part of us that we want to, you know, gain knowledge and maybe to be respected or whatever the case may be, but underlying all that is, we know it's an Avodas Hashem, you see? So everything that we do, both in the Ruchnius world and the Gashmius world, that has to be anchored and centered towards the Mizbeach. So now the question is, okay, so if the Torah that we're learning as symbolized by Menorah needs that perspective of the Mizbeach, so what about the Aron HaKodesh inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? There's no Mizbeach in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to anchor the learning, to direct our learning, to give us context and perspective of our learning. So really, this is kind of asking the same question in another way. The first way was, why do we need two kelim, Aron and menorah? for Torah. And number two, if the symbolism of the Mizbeach between the Shulchan and the Menorah is to drive home this point that we direct our pursuit of Torah towards the subservience of Hashem, so then what about the Oren itself? The Oren stands alone. Why does that not need any kind of direction in terms of a Mizbeach? So then we introduced yesterday the Rambam. We asked the contradiction, and this is where we left off, because the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says two seemingly contradictory things. He first talks about the pursuit of Torah, the Keser Torah, which exceeds the other Kesarim of Malchus and Kahuna. He says a person has to totally be involved and immersed in Torah. He has to deprive his eyelids of slumber and sleep, and deprive himself and not to indulge in all kinds of good foods and so on and so forth. He has to be ach v'rach involved in the pursuit of Torah. And we saw that also the last Rambam in Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, that says that not only the Levim are dedicated to the service of Hashem, but every person, Mikol Boy Oilo, anyone, any person from the walks of life can dedicate their life to Hashem and to become totally a spiritual person through learning Torah. And if he does that, he's in the Scottish, the Rambam's interesting language is Kodesh HaKadoshim, Holy of Holies. Now, Kodesh HaKadoshim is the same language that's used to describe the inner sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan. So now we have another Rambam at the end of Perek Gimel that tells us, I believe it's Halacha Yud Beis, that tells us that that a person should not rely on the community to support him when he learns. If he does that, it's a chilul Hashem. A person should earn a parnasa through the handiwork of his own hands, and he should join that effort of his parnasa, and he should also learn. And others together with that, he'll be the perfect man. He'll go to the office. He'll earn his parnasa instead of staying in his office from 6 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night. All right, let him minimize that and spend his day learning Torah. He'll have enough parnasa. But if a person says, I'll just sit and learn and just get my parnasa from the community, he calls that a chilul Hashem. He brings bad to himself and to the world and so on and so forth. So now we have a kind of a contradiction in these two Rambams. What's the ideal way? The answer to this question is, we know that the Gemara tells us, actually, we already had a machlokes, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. What is the ideal? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says to leave everything aside, all pursuits of the world, and just to be osek in Torah, like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So he and his son, right, they were in the cave and so on and so forth. And Rabbi Shmuel says that, no, that you have to have hanuk ben minik derech eretz. You have to join your Torah efforts along with derech eretz, which means pursuing a parnasa, right? This is a sugya that has to be understood. A lot of people try to do like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, but it didn't work. They weren't holding on that madrega. Okay, so I want to point out something very interesting from the Nefesh HaChaim. This, if you want to look it up, it's Shar Aleph Perek Ches. Shar Aleph Perek Ches. And in the middle of this Perek, he points out between what he has in the dark print and his own Haggah, that he wants to show that the two paragraphs of Kriya Shema, V'ahavta, is said in the singular, and the second paragraph is the second paragraph in Kriya Shema is Lashon Rabim in the plural. He says as follows. He says the two paragraphs of Kriya Shema are talking to two different Jews. First of all, and you have other differences in the Shema, of course. But he says as follows. He says the first paragraph is talking about the Jew who is so dedicated to his Torah. He's dedicated in the way that the Rambam kind of indicates, the first Rambam that we're speaking about, that it's talking about the Yochid, the singular Jew, not the rank and file Yid. It's the special Jew that can focus his whole Avodas Hashem in a way that he leaves out pursuits of this world. That's what it's talking about there. V'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha. Me'odecha is all of your money, all of your resources. In the second paragraph of Shema, when it talks about loving Hashem, it says you should love Hashem. It doesn't say b'chol me'odechem. It leaves out your money. It leaves out your resources. So Nefesh HaChaim says that because the parsha of Shema, the first parsha is talking to the Yochid. V'yachid she'efshelo hutzarech l'kaim l'yomash sefer Torah zemipicha. That the first pasuk is, the first perek in Kriyat Shema will incorporate the pasuk in Yeshua that you should never leave the Torah from your, and the Torah should never leave your mouth. Dvarim kichsav mamish, literally speaking. And therefore it says, b'chol ma'adech, with all of your mammon, as it says in Bracha Shalom, lasik b'parnasa klal, you shouldn't be involved in parnasa. You just be involved in Torah. But there's very few people that could do that. But that individual yid that could do such a thing, b'chol ma'adech, anything that you have is subservient to the Rabbanu Shalom. You're not involved with your money. He says, in Parshas Vahaya, Shenemer Beloshim Rabim, it's spoken, Le Rabim, Kimat Muchrachim Lesasik Al Kolpanim Ma'at Gamba Revach Mamel Chayever, the Rabim, the community at large, has to work and get involved in Parnasa. And therefore it doesn't say, Uvuchom Odechem, because, you know, he doesn't serve Hashem with all his resources, meaning to say that we don't negate the resources and act as if they don't exist, but it's a reality. He goes to work, he works for Parnasa, and so this is, now, he says, even though that this is the Madrega for most people, but still, it says now that that if you do what you want, he says, now is lashon yachid, even though it's in parshas of Vahayim Shemoa, because again, the individual, even though it's, I'm going to just use I feel a little bit uncomfortable, but even though it's plan B, as far as it's not the yid who's sitting like Rubshim Yachai and learning Torah from morning to night without any pursuits of parnasa, right? But that person is still doing Ritzon Shel Malkum, right? We are still doing Aser and Tzaka. It's not that it's just not. There's two kinds of yidin, right? And therefore, Vasafta. So that yid that does it properly as a yochid, it's true. He Vasafta de Ganecha. We recognize it. But if he doesn't, if he abuses, right, that whole schedule, and he works too much, and it takes him away from Torah, it takes him away from pursuing the Rabbanu Shalom's will, and so therefore we have the series of punishments in the Vahayim Shema, Bavadata Meir Meyal Arz HaTavah, you'll be destroyed, and so on and so forth. So therefore, if you just want to get a better feel for this Nefesh HaChayim, it's not long at all, but it's where, again, in Shar Ala Perkes, above the line, and also in the Haggah. So now we see from this Reb Chaim V'Loshner that the Torah recognizes that the two Jews, we could call them the Menorah Jew and the Aron HaKodesh Jew. Okay? The Aron Jew is that Yid, it's the Reb Chaim Kanievsky Jew, that his entire life was dedicated to Torah, Ach V'Rak. He didn't know from anything, right, except Torah. That means he knew everything, right? If you put everything out of your mind, then you're Zeicher to everything. And that Aron HaKodesh in the Kodesh, that's Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the Holy of Holy. And that Aron HaKodesh does not need a Mizbeach to provide context for his learning. Because that person's learning is the essence of Avodas Hashem. That person is not going to get caught up in anything else. He's already rejected worldly pursuits. He's not interested in the halftime or the commercials of the Super Bowl. I mean, none of that matters to him, right? All he knows is Torah. He's Kodesh HaKadoshim. That Lashon Kodesh HaKadoshim we pointed out from the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita, Yovel says that the Levi, not the Levi, anybody can make themselves like the Levi and to pursue just Torah, and the person could rise up to the level of what? Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's that level. It's that Aron HaKodesh Jew. The Aron HaKodesh Jew stands alone. He doesn't need any other proofs or context or another Mizbeach to direct his Avodas Hashem. Then we have the Torah that's represented in the Heichal. That represents, that is corresponding to us kind of Jews, so to speak, the menorah Jews, the Jews that we incorporate chokhmah, we incorporate pursuits of olam hazeh. It's the Torah that's coupled with the other kli in the heichal, which is the shulchan. But together, they need to be directed toward the subservience of the Mizbeach. And therefore, according to this, we understand now why there are two vessels that are needed in the Aron. There's the pure Torah, there's the Kodesh HaKadoshim Torah, there's the Torah that's purely gold, the Aron HaKodesh cannot be made out of anything other than gold. We said yesterday and earlier today that if need be, for example, there was a time that the menorah was actually constructed from wood, right? That can never be. The Aron HaKodesh can only be pure gold because the Aron HaKodesh is totally... totally pure gold. It's Kodesh HaKadoshim. I think I shared with you from the Ramban the other day that the Kruvim that sat on top of the Aron HaKodesh, the reason their color was gold is because gold is the color of fire. And in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the Dvar Hashem on Har Sinai through Eish, right? The Maimon Har Sinai, there was Eish, Kolos of Rakim, but the word of Hashem came down to Moshe Rabbeinu through fire. The same thing is true in the Midbar after the Maimon Har Sinai, when the Rabbeinu Shalom converses with Moshe Rabbeinu, it's done. Me Bein HaKruvim, says the Ramban, and that Bein HaKruvim experience, right? It's a hemshech of the experience of Maimon Har Sinai. So the Dvar Hashem comes through the Kruvim, which are solid gold that looks like, which reminiscent of fire. So again, so that's the Oren, it's all of his facets. However, the menorah, like I said, at times. Right? At times, like at the times of the Chashmonaim, it was made out of Shpud and Shel Barzel. It wasn't pure gold, right? That there are other things that are taken into effect with that menorah. And like I said, at times it could be made out of wood also. It doesn't have to be perfect gold because it's not speaking about the ultimate Jew of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I think this answers the kashas that we all set out to ask. Oh, now that will answer the last kasha, and that is, why does the menorah not have a crown? Why does only the Oren have a crown? What is the crown? As we saw in the Rambam yesterday, the Keser Torah. How do you achieve the Keser Torah according to the beginning of the Rambam and beginning of Perek Gimel? It's that plan A. It's the Aron HaKodesh Jew, a person that devotes every ounce of his being to Avodas Hashem. And that's why he says the Keser Torah is greater than the Keser Kahuna and Keser Malchus. That's the Torah that gets a crown. That's the Keser that gets a crown. However, the menorah, which takes into account the need to pursue a parnasa, a person spending several hours a day away from the Beis Medrash, right? With that, he's not zochet to the Keser Torah, or at least that Keser Torah that the Rambam is speaking about is the Keser Torah that it's attained through the highest madrega of Aron HaKodesh. So don't get me wrong, right? A person could be a total tzaddik, a person can get Olam Haba, a person could reach high madregas in terms of tzidkus and avodas Hashem, but that special designation that's called the Keser Torah, that Keser Torah is reserved for the Aron HaKodesh type of Jew, not for the menorah Jew. So I think between today and yesterday we have a better picture of what some of the symbolisms of the Aron HaKodesh and the symbolism of the Mishkan, but more importantly, the difference between the menorah and the Aron and the two kinds of Torah. Because I know that we've probably thought this before. We speak about Hanukkah, light the menorah. The menorah is Torah, Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah. Whatever happened to the Aron HaKodesh? Isn't that also Torah? Then now we understand that there are two facets and two messages that are being conveyed to Klal Yisrael. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone.
Good. Good job. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.